Well, happy Easter, everyone. You guys look beautiful today and handsome. Beautiful and handsome. You know, you guys could be at any place right now, but you chose to be here. You chose to be here, and it's not by accident. You know, I know some of you are here today feeling maybe a little skeptical. Maybe this is the first time in church. Maybe this is the first time back to church in 2, 3, 4 years old or years ago. I'm not sure. Maybe you feel a little skeptical of who's this pastor? What's he going to tell me today? Who are these people I'm in the church with? And people raising their hand, and we're talking about this guy who died and rose again from the dead. And what is going on here? Don't worry. We're going to get to that. Some of you are here are full of faith, and this is a lifestyle. You live here, and you walk into these doors knowing that God is going to do something. The day, for all of us, we walk through these doors with expectation. We walk through these doors wondering what's going to happen. And I know, and I believe in my heart, that the way we walk through those doors, we usually walk out a little bit different, a little bit encouraged, a little bit more hope, a little less of us. And more of him. But whatever brought you here today, I want you to know that you're not here by accident. And so I started this little thing last week, so you guys get to be a part of that. On three, if you're new with us today, or this is your first time coming back, on three, can you guys say welcome home really loud? 1, 2, 3. Welcome home! I say that because you are home. This is where you should be. This is where God wants you to be. Not because it's a religious act of doing something and checking the box. It's because it's a personal relationship with the Savior. So welcome home. Let me start by saying today is not just about Easter bunnies. Aww. This sermon's not going to be about how we... I know, right? So I waited for that. Don't want to ruin their day. It's not about fake smiles. This isn't even about religion. This is about a new hope. It's about changing. It's about transformation. It's the kind of transformation that God's stronger solution can bring. And I know we don't have a worship band and all this stuff, and we've got video, but video is really cool because it's really good, right? It fills in the gaps. But I want to start, I want to show you guys this film, and it's called Stronger Stuff. And it's a story about a father and a son, but with a deeper meaning to it. Such a rich, deep meaning to it. And actually, it's a picture of all of us. It's a picture of us always trying to clean ourselves up, trying to prove that we're okay. And then it's also a picture of a father who doesn't scold us. He doesn't yell at us because of our messes that we get ourselves into, but he runs into our mess. He loves us in spite of that, and he helps us clean up. So take a watch. Wow. Did you feel it? I love it because at first the son was having fun. He was laughing. He was splashing. He was playing around. I was that kid once. But he makes a mess like nothing matters in that moment. He was just having fun. He's seen it. Isn't that how it starts for all of us? It starts as this little thing. And the next thing you know, we get caught up in it. And then we find out that we take a step back and we find ourselves in fear. We think that we were having fun until we're not. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Good. Okay, I need to make sure I'm talking to the right people. I love it because he was having fun and in an instant it turned to fear. When we realize what's happening, he saw the oil. And you know that the oil represents sin, right? Okay, make sure you guys figured that out. I figured you guys were because I'm talking to a really smart people in the house. And the sin, it was everywhere. He saw what couldn't be hidden any longer. He noticed it. The shame crept in. When he looked around, he falls back up against the wall. It crept in. An embarrassment took over. He panicked. And so he did what most of us do. We tried to clean ourselves up. He scrubbed, he fought, he tried to fix it. But the more he tried, the messier he got. It's like that with those temptations in the world. They look like a little thing. They look like not much. But then the next thing you know, you touch it. And every time it touches something, it transfers to someone else or something else, a relationship or work. Every time we touch it, it affects other things. And now, no matter how hard we try, we're still covered in a mess and we still hide. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's money. Yeah, you know, I spend money and I don't have any. I struggle with it. That's a fact. And I love it because that's exactly when the Father shows up. In the midst of his worst mess, the Father shows up. Fear, shame, and death. They're not just words. They're real emotions that you go through, that I go through. You know it and I know it. And some of you have been living with these emotions. You're even living in them right this moment. Fear paralyzes you from even making a decision half the time. Shame whispers in your ear, you're not good enough. You never will be. And death, well, that hangs over all of our heads. Some of you came here today smiling. As you get to know me, you're usually not leaving here smiling. In a good way. I'm a man who likes to preach transformation. And if you feel the same way when you leave here, then I have done a disservice to you. So I like the challenge. Some of you came in here today smiling. You put on this smile, but your heart is heavy. Maybe it's a loved one who's suffering. Maybe it's you that's suffering with something. But you walk in here with a heavy heart and you try to cover it with a smile because that's what people do, right? I was telling somebody today, I was like, you know, my greeting team, they don't ask you how you're doing when you come through the doors. Because I am expecting you're coming here because you're coming to a hospital, not a country club. And the last thing I want my greeting team to do is to have you lie before you walk through the doors. Some of you are trying to buy your past or bury your past under performance by numbing it with distractions, even addictions. And I know because I've been there too. I haven't always been a pastor. I got a lot of new people in here, so I'm just going to go with it. I was like that boy. I got so involved in alcohol and drugs to the point, and gambling to the point where my wife had left me. I got to the point where everything that I touched became toxic or destroyed because of the sin in my life. I destroyed everything around me. And it got to the point where I was arrested. Or right before I was arrested, I was in a car accident and a young man lost his life because of what I did, because of my lifestyle. Everything I touched, I destroyed. And then I get arrested and all I can say is, but God. But God stepped in. He started cleaning me up like he did that little boy. He started doing the things that I was trying to do and failed miserably at. I remember nights when the fear crept in and I couldn't sleep at night. Shame made me believe that God didn't want anything to do with me. Nothing to do with me because of the way I lived my life. And death stood there knocking at my door. I almost committed suicide. I almost ended my own life because of the place that I was at in my life. the shame, the fear, the death. And I kept telling myself, I would never be free from this but Jesus. That's why Easter matters. Because Jesus walked straight into the fear, the shame, and the death, and he crushed them. He crushed them. What the world couldn't fix in my life and what the world can't fix in your life, God solved in a very unexpected way. The God of the universe stepped down from heaven, wrapped himself in flesh. He took on a crown of thorns. He was beaten. He bloodied while hanging on a cross for humanity's mess. For your mess. For my mess. And 3 days later, guess what? There was an empty tomb showing us our resurrected Savior. This is God's stronger solution. We can't clean ourselves up. We need to accept the gift that's already been given. I love this. Jesus' love is stronger than your fear. 1 John 4:18 through 19 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us." In the film, the son is hiding, but the father doesn't stay distant. He stood at the door and he patiently waited and knocked. You know what? That's a representation of what Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. He says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God is standing at the door of your heart right now, knocking, waiting for you like the boy. Even in his shame and his fear, he still had to walk out and open and unlock the door for his father to come in. The boy didn't even know what his dad was going to do. I don't know how you were raised as a kid, but I love my dad, but it wouldn't have been like that. Right? The people who are laughing are guilty. Man, some of us are afraid of failure, rejection. Some of us are even afraid of God himself. But you got to understand that Jesus steps into our fear, into our judgment. But he does it with a perfect love. Do you really get what this verse says? It says perfect love drives out fear. It doesn't negotiate with it. It's not saying, you know, "Hey, well, you seem too scared to change right now. I'll come back later." It doesn't negotiate with it. It casts it out. Gone. It's a passionate love. It's a love that moves towards our mess, not away from our mess. Jesus doesn't shout at you from a distance, "Hey, go fix yourself." Man, isn't that the truth sometimes? I don't know, I was telling my team earlier, I was like, you know, I remember before I was a believer in Jesus Christ and all my mess, I would not walk through the church doors because of my shame. I'd be like, "I walk through those doors, I'm going to catch on fire. I do not belong in there." But I had it wrong. I had it all wrong. It's a passionate love. It's a love that moves towards our mess, not away from us. Jesus doesn't shout from his distance, "Fix yourself." He steps into your mess, into your storm, into your hurt, and your trembling heart, and says, "Here I am." Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in your gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful song." Did you hear that? The God of the universe Your mighty warrior isn't just near. He's singing over you. Singing over you and calming your heart with his love. This isn't about religion or perfection. It's about a relationship with the risen Savior. What fear are you carrying that Jesus hasn't already crushed at the cross? We like to set things down, but then when we get uncomfortable or something, we'll pick that thing back up because that's where we find our comfort. Versus laying it at the cross and leaving it there and turning from it and going another direction. Jesus' kindness is stronger than your shame. Romans 2:4 says, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you, with me?" Yes. Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? You saw it in the film. The son is covered in grime, trying to hide his shame. And the father, he doesn't pull away. He gets closer. He opens his arms. And his love allows him to get dirty. Some of you walked in here today carrying shame like a backpack filled with bricks. Man, I know what that feels like. That is a lot of weight to carry around. Shame, addiction, fear, codependency, lack of identity. Who am I? Approval addiction. So many different types of bricks I had carried. I know how heavy it is. And I'm talking stuff from years ago as childhood. I'm talking about stuff that maybe happened just last week. You've convinced yourself that you've got to clean up before you can go to church. Or worse, even come to God. Jesus didn't die on the cross to build a country club. The church isn't where the hurting are healed. The church is where the hurting are healed. It's not, I got to say it this way. I don't come to church as a pastor because I'm a saint. I come to church because I need a Savior. And I will always need a Savior. You know why? Because I'm messed up. And I can admit it. I make mistakes. Ask my wife. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect on this side of heaven. So I need a Savior. I need somebody who's going to constantly love me even in my mess. I'm not here because I'm a saint. I'm here because I need a Savior. And the truth is, his kindness that leads us into repentance. Okay? I don't try to use the big churchy words. So what is repentance? Let me give you an idea of what repentance is. There's a Greek word, it's called metanoia. It's a military term that means about face. It means you turn and go the opposite direction. What happened with the young boy that was in his mess and he was in there, the repentance wasn't when he found out he was making a mess of his life, his sin. It was the moment that he was in the bathroom and he said, "Dad," still wasn't repentant yet. It was the moment that he reached out and opened the door to let his dad in. He had a change of mind. His shame was going to keep him over here, and he had to step out of his shame and turn and open the door and let his dad in. That was repentance. It was the moment that he tried to stop fixing himself and allow his dad to step in and fix him. There's a story in John 8 of a woman who's caught in adultery. And the scribes and the religious people of that time, because there was a law, if you commit adultery, you were to be stoned and all this stuff. And so they were trying to set Jesus up. And they brought this woman in who was caught in adultery. And they said, "Look, Jesus, this woman is caught in adultery." And Jesus sits down, he's writing, in the ground, doesn't answer or respond to him. And they say, "The law of Moses says that you're supposed to stone such a woman." And Jesus, being the smartest person ever, says, "He who is without sin cast the first stone." Isn't that funny? We like to think our self-righteousness is, we can point fingers at everybody else. I've done this before. How many people have been caught with a ticket speeding? Go ahead, you can raise your hands. You're in church. Don't lie. Okay. Self-righteousness is just this. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you've sped just never being caught. Your self-righteousness says, I can speed and not get a ticket, but they can't. But what does Jesus do to you? He doesn't humiliate this lady. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't say, oh, you know, he tells everybody else, drop your rocks, is what it is. They all drop their rocks. He said, he who's without sin cast the first stone. They start dropping the rocks. And then Jesus is left with this lady, caught in sin, caught in adultery. And he doesn't like chastise her or, you know, yell at her or scream at her. He doesn't expose or humiliate her. Everyone's ready to kill her. And Jesus, he stoops down. He looks up and he looks at her. He says, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. But he also says, go and leave your life of sin. Do you see what happens here? He didn't say, it's fine, keep on sinning. He said, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to change you. Some of you need to hear that today. Jesus doesn't ignore your sin. He wants to destroy it with his grace. His kindness doesn't excuse your past. I love this. He rewrites your mess into a message, if you will let him. I can stand up here and share my testimony with you because God has redeemed it and has turned it into a message. There is hope on the other side of shame, fear, and death. He wants to rewrite your mess into a message. You don't have to hide any longer. You don't have to pretend. He already sees everything, and he still chose the cross for you. He knew we were going to miss the mark. He knew we were going to fail, but he still chose the cross anyway. Jesus' life is stronger than death. So let's get to Easter morning. Ready? We only got about another hour left. I'm just kidding. I promise. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. John 20, 19 through 20. The doors were locked. That's the first thing I noticed. Fear had them frozen inside that room, but the locked doors couldn't keep out the resurrected king. He still came through. Jesus didn't show up in a room to condemn or judge. He didn't ask all his disciples, why did you run, or why did you doubt, or why are you hiding? He didn't say that. The first words from the risen Savior were, I've practiced saying this so many times, Shalama Mukan. So something like that. I hope I said it right. I practiced so many times. It's actually the Hebrew word for peace be with you. That's what he says. I'll just say, peace be with you. This would have been not just like a peace. Hey, peace. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. There's so much more deep and meaningful in their language. It's so powerful. It wasn't just like, hey, don't be afraid. You're going to be okay. But it was a powerful declaration of wholeness, restoration, and shalom. I could preach a whole sermon on shalom. I love that word. Wholeness, restoration, and shalom after the chaos that just unfolded for an entire week. We talked about from Monday's flipping tables and all this. Yeah. So in your fear, in your failure, in your hiding, he speaks peace to you. Peace be with you. That is the power of the resurrection. Not just that Jesus came back to life, but that his life now enters into our life. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you get that? It's not a dead religion. This isn't a dead religion. It's not wishful thinking. It's not perfection. It's not behavior modification. It's a living hope that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we might have life and life to the fullest. Resurrection means that we can be born again. That's a whole other story. It means that you can be transformed into something unshakable. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead can live inside of you. It's something that's unshakable. Death is no longer has the final word because the tomb was empty. So God has a stronger solution. He's got a stronger solution for, I'm going to point at my wife. For you, for you, for you, for you, for all of us, for me. God's solution is stronger than you could ever imagine trying to pick up and clean yourself up. I'm a walking testament. If I were sure, I could spend the whole 45 minutes sharing my testimony. It would blow your mind. My wife could share her testimony, and it would blow your mind what God has done in and through us. Why? Because we stopped trying to clean ourselves up. Fear doesn't get the last word, church. Shame doesn't define you. Death does not own you because the tomb is empty. The world's solution, stay busy, money, success, religion, they can't fix what's broken. You keep hearing me say religion, right? I'm not a religious person. My faith is in a risen Savior. I have a relationship with Him. But God's stronger solution is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That is our solution to the broken world that we live in. It was prophesied all the way from the moment that Adam and Eve did what they weren't supposed to do. It says that the person would crush the heel of the serpent. That's Jesus. So here's my question. Do you know him? Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? I'm asking, and think about this, do you truly know him? Because we all have heard the name Jesus Christ. Most of us, at some time or another, have used it in a bad word. We know the name. But do you know who he is and what he did for you? This moment, it's not about whether you came here to church today just to check a box. You came here because you wanted to hear about the resurrected king, right? Or you got drugged here by mom or grandma. Or, you know, I know. I get it. I get it. Question I have is, have you ever really surrendered to him? And it's work. It takes work, you know, because we're so in tune with how we like things to be done. I like it my way. But if we give God a chance, he will turn your world upside down. I'm a pastor. That's crazy. If you'd have known me before this, it would make perfect sense to you. God turned my world upside down because I put my little bit of faith, as small as a mustard seed, in him. And he transformed everything. I want that for you. I want you to have that same experience. If you come in here and you're struggling and you're hurting and things just don't seem right, today is the day that can change everything. It's something far deeper. It's about whether you've come to a place where you truly lay down your life to receive His. Have you looked at Jesus and said, I am done pretending. I am done performing. I'm yours. Some of you, this might be the first time you've really, are really hearing what kind of what this invitation is. You've never made that decision, but something inside of you says, you know, today is different. There is only one way to heaven. One way. And it's through Jesus Christ. That's it. If you believe in heaven, then you got to believe the Bible, because the Bible is what talks about heaven. And the Bible points to Jesus. So you can't have a heaven without Jesus. 1 John says, let me see if I get this right and not butcher it. I can't do it now. In Him is the fullness of life. Nothing was created without Him. That means Jesus created the heavens and the earth. And I want you not to leave here today without knowing that God loved you so much that He stepped out of heaven for you. Make it personal. He wants to step into your life. He wants to step into your heart. He wants to change these things in your life. And He'll do it if you let Him. If He stands at the door and knocks, all you got to do is open it up. You've never made that decision, but something inside you says, today is different. And others, you've been around church. You've been singing the songs. You've been serving in all these areas. But deep down, you never have fully surrendered your heart to Him. You're still on the fence, like, I want to be over here, and I want to be over here, and I want to be over here. You ride the line. The Bible calls that lukewarm. I find myself keeping Jesus at a safe distance sometimes, because sometimes I'm afraid that He's going to ask me to do something that isn't going to make me feel comfortable. He's going to ask me to, like, I'm praying for the day that He doesn't ask me to go be a missionary. But if He calls, I go. In a sense, I feel like a missionary in our community. I'm all the way from Illinois. I've only been here since November. I feel like a missionary here. I do. I'm not going to explain why, but I feel like a missionary. Friends, today is your day. Not for guilt, not for pressure, but for God's grace, for freedom, for new life, for new hope. These are the things that He offers, not fear, shame, and death. Grace, freedom, new life, and new hope is what He offers. And on top of that, the cherry on top is eternity in heaven. He's not asking you to clean yourself up before you come to Him. He's asking for your heart. People say, well, you know, how did you change? I go, all I had to offer in that moment in my life, I had nothing. I lost everything. Everything that I loved and I cared about, I lost it all. And I sat in that jail cell, ready on suicide watch and everything. And I came across this verse, my favorite verse, one of them, probably my second favorite, Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27. He says, then I will pour out my water on you and you will be clean. I will make you clean from all your unclean ways and from all your false gods. Man, I had a lot of false gods in my life. I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit within you. I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He says, I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to follow my laws and be careful to do what I tell you. All He wants is your heart. That's all He wants. So the question is, will you give it to him? We stop trying to clean up your own mess and give it to God. Every head bowed, every eye shut in the building. Nobody's looking. We do this every week, and people say yes to Jesus every week. If that's you in this room, if you're tired of cleaning yourself up, and again, nobody's looking. I'm the only one looking. That way I can see you. If that's you today, and you haven't given your life to Jesus, or you're tired of playing the game of trying to clean yourself up, or you're trying to play the game like, I go to church, but I haven't really given my life to him yet. If that's you, just slip your hand up real quick. Thank you. 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 Praise God. He has a better plan. His plan is better than yours. It's so much better than yours. Give him a shot. I want you to know, keep your eyes shut and all that stuff, because we're going to pray here in a minute. I want you to kind of sit in your heart and just kind of think about it. I want you to know that New Hope Church has a new pastor in town. And this church is going to be a hospital. We're not a country club. Thank you for all those with the courage to raise your hand. Let's pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me. Everybody repeat after me. Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I give you my fear, my shame, my sin. I give my life to you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. You know, I know it takes a lot of courage to raise your hand, and I want to know, I'm going to be right here after service. If you want to talk about that, I want to be right here for you, individually for you, if you raised your hand and you want to talk. If not, it's okay. I'll call you, fill out one of those cards. Fill out those cards. If you're new here and you want to know more about New Hope Church, fill out that card. I don't care. Put it in the prayer box. Get it to my hands. We want to love you right where you're at. God loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to stay there. So let's move forward in faith. Let's celebrate. Let me get you guys out of here so you can go spend time with family. Amen. We love you guys. We will see you all next week. Go ahead, take some pictures over here. Do what you want. Go outside, egg hunt, have fun. We're going to be around for a while. Love you guys. God bless. Happy Resurrection Day.